Megan Angelou's new novel, Followers, is the story of two ambitious friends, the dark choices they make, and the stunning moment that changes the world as we know it forever. In the novel, Orla Cadden is a budding novelist stuck in a dead-end job writing clickbait about movie star hookups and influencer yoga moves. Then Orla meets Floss, a striving wannabe A-lister who comes up with a plan for launching them both into the high-profile lives that they have always dreamed about. So what if Orla and Floss's methods are a little shady and sometimes people get hurt? Their legions of followers can't be wrong. Megan Angelou's writing has appeared in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Glamour, Elle, among many other publications. Followers is her debut novel, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. I'm glad to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. So what led you to tell this story?
A lot went into this story. I had been working in celebrity journalism for a good decade when I started writing it. I'd sort of seen a lot about how the sausage gets made from top to bottom. And also, I just was really thinking a lot about the future, probably because I had recently started having children, and thought, you know, I'm not a sci-fi writer or a true dystopian fan, but I'd love to write something that is set in the future but feels more on the scale of like your grandmother telling you, oh, this is how things used to be in my day.
When you talk about your time in celebrity journalism, when you read this book, it doesn't seem like it was the fondest of times. but maybe I'm projecting, I don't know.
I think I was a little hard on the industry for sure. I mean, I did have fun. Let's get that out there. There's nothing that's not fun about your day of work being to, for example, interview, you know, all of the most famous women from Saturday Night Live on the set of their beautiful photo shoot for Glamour magazine. That was a good day at work. But what I really wanted to pull the curtain back on for people was just kind of the ridiculous ways that the images and the information that are transmitted to you as regular people come into being. And I mean, just an example that I talk about in the book a little bit that always struck me as I stood on a red carpet or stood on the set of a photo shoot observing celebrities was sort of the way they hold their body and they hold their face. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but in most pictures of celebrities these days, they're sort of sucking in their cheekbones in a really extreme way. They're pouting their lips out. And if you see them on a red carpet, they're sort of doing this funny, awkward thing with their knees, where their knee is turned in, their ankles kicked out. All of it adds up to a really flattering look in a photograph. When you are standing 6 feet from someone doing that, it seems utterly ridiculous.
Do you think it seems ridiculous to them? Do they understand the silliness of it?
I do. I think they do. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are very famous and who are also very intelligent and who I think are really cognizant of these sort of bargains and have made their peace with it. And I kind of think it's one of the biggest requirements of supersized fame, that you have to be okay with looking dumb in front of 30 people to look glamorous in front of 30 million people.
So tell us about the relationship between your characters, Orla and Floss, and how their relationship progresses.
So Orla is a 28-year-old blogger in New York. She's the one who sort of is having some of these job experiences that I've had, where she is a faceless, nameless part of the media, but when she goes to work and writes about a person over and over and over, it tends to make them look famous, because why else would a media outlet pay attention to them? Floss, by contrast, is this person who comes out of nowhere. She has been on a Z-list reality show when she meets Orla, and she has a drive to be a super influencer, Kim Kardashian-level celebrity. So she and Orla meet randomly because Floss sublets a room in Orla's apartment, but they quickly realize that there's an opportunity here for Floss to get famous by Orla simply going to work and writing about her roommate as if she is famous. And so that's the bargain that they strike.
You come, and I alluded to this in the introduction, but you bring us to this cataclysmic event, which I won't mention, but did you always know that there was going to be this sort of earth-shattering moment?
I did. I really wanted to answer the question, or at least give a possible answer to the question of what would it take to make us step back from how consumed we've become with our phones, how sort of wild we've become on social media and the way we treat each other, and with how free we've become with sharing our personal data. I feel like we talk about these things every single day, but nothing ever seems to really elicit that pushback. And I felt like there would have to be sort of a cataclysmic event in America to elicit that kind of response. So I knew that was going to happen in the book. And I think one of my favorite things about writing the book was finding the way into it and knowing that people were sort of going to think for the first 30 pages of this book that it's kind of about girls having fun in the city and glamour and trying to climb a ladder towards fame. And then all of a sudden things just kind of drop off a cliff and you realize you are in a very different story, in fact.
What's fascinating to me, and in reading the novel, I thought about this as well, that because certainly we have had cataclysmic events in this country, and as you have them, it does allow you to take a momentary step back. By the same token, you know, a little while later, you're right back where you were before. It seems like we're almost hardwired.
Yeah, I think we are, and I think that, you know, especially when it comes to how we use technology, we haven't had, you know, the sort of 9/11 equivalent that kind of event, right? There hasn't been a dark day or a dark week. What there's been is sort of this slow erosion of our expectations, what we should be allowed to keep to ourselves. I mean, we've all read these horror stories. I think the New York Times did one a few months ago that said there's something like 24,000 data points on each of us picked up in a day, and we don't even have a good sense of where that information is going. But it's almost so overwhelming right out of the gate that none of us know where to begin fighting back against it.
The name of the new novel is Followers. Megan Angelo, I thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to speak with you. Best of luck with the novel.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks
thank you so very much. Again, the new novel is Followers. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.